since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1205. This is your host, Danny Pena, and this episode we have a jam-packed episode. We have interview with the dev team at Beamdog to talk about their new first original IP called MythForce, where the game is going to be available later this week on the 20th, exclusively early access through Epic Game Store. So I had a great conversation with them. It was like a good 40-something minutes behind the scenes. How was it, coming up with this game? You know, their favorite 80 cartoons. Because when you look at the game, it reminds me so much of like the 80 cartoons, man, from back then, man. So great conversation. Highly recommended for you to listen to. And please let me know your thoughts, your feedback about this episode. Plus, I review my favorite little device called PlayDate. This is a new handheld device that's coming out from Panic. You could pre-order right now for $179. And it's coming out soon. A lot of the media got early access. We've been playing now 24 games. And there was every day there was like a new game for us to review. So, again, you will get the whole season. Every week there's going to be something new for you to try out. So, highly recommend it. I'm going to play the review here later on this episode. But first, head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do, just go and search for Gamertag Radio. Remember to also subscribe, follow us, and even post your review. Go right now to Spotify, post a review. Also on Apple Podcasts or any other place that you listen to Gamertag Radio. It's going to help us to get discovered, and I would like to thank every single person that's been reviewing us. I've been seeing the numbers, and it's been increasing, and please continue. You haven't had the chance to review. It only takes a minute of your time. Super easy to do, and it will help us to get discovered from new fans. All right, if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, send us emails, questions, comments, feedback. Here's how you can be part of fan mail.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to go now with the interview. My friends at Beamdog to talk about MythForce. And right after that, I'm going to play the review of the handheld from Panic called Playdate. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio.
My name is Luke Rideout, and I am the project director on MythForce.
My name is Kale Nicholson, and I'm the COO at Beamdog.
And I'm Trent Oster. I am the CEO of Beamdog.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say thank you to you guys again, because I know we'd review the game on G4 and X-Play. But I've been playing it for a while now, and I've been having a blast with the game, man. Solo, now that more people are going to be playing it now, it's gonna be a lot more fun now playing online.
But you're going to have to get good.
I know. Let me tell you, when I started playing it, it was very challenging. But I got used to it. I think I have to just change classes and find the right one for me, solo. You know, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, it can be pretty rough, especially just kind of figuring it out. It runs at a sort of different pace than a lot of games in the same genre, mm-hmm. And you really do have to learn to play tactically. And also find the character that's best for you. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start with this one. How this game came about? Who was the person that came with the idea? Was it a big group? Was it one person? Because this feels very, very old school. Reminds me so much as a kid watching Saturday morning cartoons, man. Let's go from there, man.
Yeah, well, the cartoon thing didn't start at the beginning, actually. We knew we wanted to make some kind of action-oriented game. We knew we wanted to sort of stay in that kind of fantasy genre. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all big RPG and fantasy nerds. We knew we wanted something that was going to be a little more family-friendly. We knew that pretty early on. Cam, our co-founder, he's got three daughters. I got a couple kids. Mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of us are young parents at the studio. So we were kind of thinking, like, first-person dungeon crawler pretty early, but Luke was actually the one that had the idea to do the 80s cartoon thing.
And Luke, why you want to turn into the 80s cartoon?
I mean, it was kind of on a lark, but honestly, we were looking through what artistic styles that we could leverage for the game. At the very beginning, sort of at the inception, we were looking at a lot more of a sort of stylized Overwatch kind of style for the game. But we were kind of worried that it might just look like an also-ran, you know, like any other game in this space. And so we kind of wanted to do something a little bit avant-garde. And in some previous projects that I've worked on in my career, I've found that if you can get sort of a visually unique hook, you know, people will show some interest. And I'm a kid of the 80s. So is Kale. You know, so is Trent. We are all into that. So I was like, well, why don't we try 1980s cartoons? I know it's going to be a technical hurdle to jump, but I think it might be worth it. And somehow I managed to convince these guys.
So. That's awesome. That's good to hear. Now, Trent, how's been the reaction ever since the announcement of the game?
Reaction's been really positive. I think everybody responds to it because, as the guy said in the launch, I mean, this is kind of a love letter to the 80s. Mm-hmm. And there's a campy way to go at things, and there's a way to just kind of capture the magic and roll with it. And that's what we're really doing with the cartoons here. And I was thinking about how we got around to making this game. And ultimately, it was kind of like Cam and myself and Kale and Luke. We were all sketching out what the baby would look like. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the having of the baby, that was Luke and the team. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we all added something to it, and we all kind of said the things that we wanted. I periodically leaned in and said things that I really loved about what we could build. And this is really kind of a combination of us both looking at the kind of game we'd like to make and looking at all the previous games we've either made or just really enjoyed, and then really dissecting them and taking them down to their smallest parts. It's like, I look at it, if Baldur's Gate was a symphony, this is a three-piece power metal band. This is totally Triumph, and we're going for it. And that's really what we were after was, what if we stripped down D&D and playing with your friends to its core essence? What would that be? Well, it would be a quick dungeon run. Everybody jumps in, and you just go for it. Lots of screaming and madness and mayhem. And if you watch people stream this game, there's lots of screaming and madness and mayhem.
Yeah, and you guys were nervous announcing this, because I mean, this is very different than the other game I've seen before. Were you guys nervous, excited, or combination of both?
I think we really wanted to ensure that our fans knew something different was coming. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to be very clear about that, saying, hey, I know you guys know us for RPGs, and hey, I've been doing RPG stuff since 1996. So I'm going to break the mold a bit here, and I'm going to go this way. But from my sense, I look at MythForce, and it's got these pieces that really make sense in an RPG. It's got this random dungeon creation. It's got these differentiated characters. It's like the building blocks, the atomic pieces for a great RPG.
What were the cartoons from back in the days that inspired you to come up with this idea, Luke?
Oh, boy. I mean, all of them, but the biggest inspirations, our characters in particular. I watched a ton of Masters of the Universe, He-Man, She-Ra, and we wanted to sort of emulate that filmation, human proportions, almost rotoscoped kind of style of the video game, or in our video game. But the environments, you know, the old He-Man environments were very sort of bare bones, so we were looking at more the artistic works of Don Moore, who worked with Don Bluth on things like Dragon's Lair, Secret of Nim, and Space Ace, and all of those properties. So Those were the two really biggest artistic influences, but I mean, I was consuming all of the 80s cartoon media while we were working on this game. Silverhawks, Centurions, Visionaries, you know, Mask, Jason the Wheeled Warriors, you know.
Early on, Luke continuously referenced Black Star and
Brave Star.
Brave Star, Black Star as well.
Yep. And I was nonstop throwing out Thundercats.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Thundercats.
Absolutely Thundercats.
Hell yeah.
Thundercats.
Hell yeah. You know what? Believe it or not, for some strange reason, this game also reminds me of Flash Gordon with the cheesy music and everything nice. Too. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I love it. Love it. And how about consoles? I know people have been bringing that up ever since the announcement. Are we going to see this maybe on consoles in the future? I know this is early access for PC only right now. Is there something in the future for console players or what?
We're not really committing to it now, but I would say there's a definite interest in that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. Good to know. And also controller support too. Because let me tell you, I'm not great playing with a mouse and keyboard. So I had to play this. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get used to it. But hopefully we get to see that too in the future. That would be something.
Controller support is definitely coming.
All right,
I want to make sure that the most number of players are playing the game and also sort of in the way they're most comfortable with. So we have key remapping for players that don't want to play WASDA on their keyboards, and we also have controller support on the way. So.
All right, good, good. Kale, so let's talk about the characters in the game, man. You want to break it down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I'm a big Rico man. Rico's kind of our rogue, our swashbuckler. He's kind of like the single target high DPS character. And when you rank him up properly, when you get him good and you get the right perks, man, it's like hitting toddlers with a wiffle bat. It's super fun to play Rico. What else? We got Vicky. Vicky's the leader of the group, Victoria. She's our knight. She's our tank. She's big and she crushes stuff with her shield. She takes a lot of damage and she kind of leads the way into the charge. A lot of her abilities kind of like draw aggro or bash stuff around. We got Maggie. Maggie's sort of like the high skill one right now. She's the mage. She's a ranged DPS. A lot of sort of like crowd control-y kind of damage. And that leaves us with Hawkins, who's sort of like the hunter, the archer. He's a little high skill as well because you got to take a lot of headshots with him. But he's super fun to play. Good support, good range.
Yeah, you know. And what? Yeah, what else?
I was just going to say, you know, like I'm a Rico guy, but there is one member of our team who plays Maggie to a despicable extent. And I just want to call him out for a second because Brock knows what he did. And he should feel bad.
Yeah, that's funny.
Brock is the technical director on the project.
He
mains Maggie and he has broken the games in so many great ways. It's great to have people who are passionate about certain characters because they can really tell you how the character is broken and help with balance. So.
Okay. Yeah. You know, watching the intro of the game, there's a lot of enemies that are not in the game yet. Is that something that we're going to get to see in the future? And also, people are going to ask, like, is there a story? Is this just a roguelike game and that's it? Because, you know, I played games like Hades, and one of the things that I love about that game, every time you complete the game, you always unlock something. So it feels like a never-ending game. So is this something like that for this game? Once you start adding all the extra content throughout the year or years from now, is it going to be similar to something like that, like Hades or what?
Yeah, I mean, Hades, I think, does it masterfully, right? I mean, it feels good to die in Hades because you know you're getting like that next little story bit, that next little conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, Luke, in particular, with our writer Dave Gross, who's been responsible for most of the content of the game so far in that sort of lore area, have been working hard in the background on that. We haven't managed to get much of it into the game yet, beyond, of course, all of the great VO character lines we've got in there, mm-hmm. Which drive the story forward. But there is more planned in that space for sure. Luke, do you want to vamp on that a little?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got a massive lore Bible already written up for the game, and there is a lot to explore in the world of Eldrith and sort of the greater planet of Viridia and all of these characters. The sort of the Mythforce extended universe is vast. You know, we've already kind of got the story worked out for what we want to do between the first episode and where we want to go to sort of the fight against Daedalus, but... I'm hoping that we can fit a lot of our narrative into the game and give players a lot to kind of play with. Hades is a very tough act to follow, and sort of our structure of a story is probably going to be a little bit different from that. But we definitely want, through character dialogue and other sort of means, to give players a lot to digest.
So this is episode one, or episode one is going to be longer than that?
Yeah, what you've got right now and what's going out at launch is sort of the first version of episode one, Bastion of the Beast Lord. That's the adventure where you go into the sort of beginning of the dungeon. This place called the Thicket, which is guarded by Beastor, that big orange dude that you see in the trailer. So the fight against Beastor is sort of the climax of this episode of the game, and then you'll move through the other villainous characters that you've seen in the cartoon entry intro on your way to fighting Daedalus, and there's a couple of other surprises planned in, along the way.
Hey Trent, I know this is the you guys your first original IP. What made you guys decide, like, you know what, I think it's time to do something new? Because you guys are known to work on ports and other things like that. So what was it that you guys made the decision? Like, okay, this is like the right time for us to do something new for the studio.
Well, I think like the ports was always a step A. It was always a step in a multi-step plan. And the step with the ports was, let's build up some good games, let's build up a good following so that we can have some revenue so that we can build something great off of it. I think the plan was always to build our own intellectual property. And specifically this game, it really came down to, it was so unique and so different from what a lot of other people were doing that it just made a ton of sense for us to build our own intellectual property as we built it. And as it all came together, and once the 80s cartoon thing clicked hard, it just made so much sense. And we, it was like we were kind of moving it forward in kind of the dark, searching things out. And then all of a sudden, ka-tink, somebody turned the lights on and everything was like, everybody knew what we were doing and everybody was looking the same way now.
And let me ask you this about early access. You know, some studios, I think they do a pretty good job of giving early access to like the community and get the fans involved for the game to be better. And there's other companies that just doesn't do a great job with that. What made you guys decide, like, you know what, I think we should get the gamers involved. Let's release this early. Or maybe you guys are just too excited when the release is early. or you just want to show people the project you guys have been working on now for like the past couple of years.
I think all of those are true.
So all of them. Okay.
We did want to get it out. We did want to get it in front of people because we're proud of it. We think it's pretty awesome. I think the other thing is we know what we like about it. And from our friends and family who've played with us and who've run multiple sessions and the internal feedback we've done, we really felt it was time to get a broader group to look at it. I mean, it's we can design fun gameplay, but we're going to have blind spots because we've been working on it for so long. And because there's things that we love about it that other people might bounce off. And if we don't hear their viewpoints or hear what they're not enjoying about it, we have no clue on how to fix that. I think the other part of it is community involvement. It's kind of in our DNA. I mean, especially my own with Neverwinter Nights, it was really built around end user community and community involvement and driving the game forward by people building content and participating. And I think that's just part of a healthy video game, is having a fan group who play the game, who love it. And honestly, those people are going to get so much, they're going to be so much deeper experts in the game than we are. Like all of our expertise is diffused out a bit. There's the designer who knows exactly how this combat move works. There's this character over here. Somebody knows exactly how that works. But the fans, the players, they can get so deep and so into what the game does that they're going to have perspectives that we just can't even imagine. And I'm probably most excited about hearing the feedback and then kind of parsing it out. Cause the thing with fans is there's a ton of enthusiasm there. They're going to say the things that they perceive as what they love and what they think are wrong. And what we need to do is we need to look at that and say, okay, they're saying this. What does that really mean? Are they saying that they hate how slow Rico moves because other enemies are faster? Is it because he can't run that much because his stamina is holding him back? There's like 10 inputs that are affecting this thing that they're complaining about. So really, there's going to be this whole kind of analysis. It's like a doctor. You come to the doctor with symptoms and you describe them, and the doctor needs to assess against those symptoms and find the underlying problem. And that's one of the things I'm really excited to do, is to take all that feedback, put it together, throw smart people on the team at it and say, this is what they're saying. What do they really mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, back in the days, you know, as a fan growing up, playing all these games, you know, original Nintendo, Genesis, Super Nintendo, right? Like, we never had the opportunity back then to give feedback to developers. There was no access for that, right? And now that you're going to get a lot of more people playing these games, and now they have access to give you the feedback, people are going to be very opinionated with all type of feedback. So when is the right feedback? Which ones are the ones that's going to make sense? Like, doesn't that get difficult for the team? Because there's so many people like passionate about the game. They want to see so many things, but which one makes sense for the game?
Well, I think, you know, that's it's never easy, right? It's never easy to necessarily know what your community wants, right? You got to get in there. You got to do the work. You got to meet the people. You got to talk to them. You know, we're all game devs, but we're game players first, and we all participate in, you know, early access games ourselves, right? Like I filled up probably 100 tickets on stuff like Subnautica and Deep Rock Galactic with suggestions or bugs or whatever, because we're passionate about games. We're passionate about what we love to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, especially in a medium as interactive as ours, that kind of community conversation is so critical, right? You know, we may not be the most polished corporate entity, but we mix it up a little bit. You know, we've had a lot of community hires in the past, modders and things like that, that have worked on our games. We've seen amazing benefit from being really tightly knit with our community. And I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, Danny, right? Like, you guys built GTR off of that community management, right? That involvement and that getting out there and seeing the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helped a lot. You know, engagement I think is super important too. You know, so I was gonna ask you, like, is there any plans to share like the content that we're gonna get to see throughout the year? Is that something that you guys are planning to do, or this is more like surprise? Here's the content. This is what we have for today, like that type of thing, or no?
Yeah, we're definitely gonna share a roadmap. But I think we want to be really careful, because we don't want to, you know, hang ourselves up by promising too much too quickly, right? I've seen a lot of studios make that mistake. We want to make sure that we're being as honest and authentic with our community base as we can, talk to the fans about things that we're really confident in, that we know we can deliver, but still show on a path ahead so they understand, yeah, there's content, there's stuff coming, we're working on it all the time, we're listening. But yeah, we don't want to say like, hey, here's what the next year is going to look like, because we'll you know, it's game dev, man. Nothing goes the way you want it to.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, what about international gamers, man? You know, gaming is, we're all together, right? But there's a lot of different languages. Are we going to get to see something like that for let's say Spanish, Japanese, other players from around the world? We're going to get to see that in the game in the future or no?
Yeah, I'll field that one. Definitely. You know, I don't know exactly which languages and regions yet, but we certainly want to try and broaden this out. I mean, it's a very sort of multiplayer community game, right? The bigger the audience, the better it is for everyone, right? The bigger that ecosystem gets. So, you know, we've worked with great partners before in sort of localization and that kind of stuff. We have some wonderful channel partners around the world that we're excited to work with. So definitely it'll be coming all over the place.
Hey, I'm saying I would love to see the intro in different languages. That would be awesome.
When you look at the reach of cartoons and you look at how many different languages made it into.
Yeah.
We aspire to do the same thing. Like, I guess that's one of the things that really excites me about this game is this has the potential to go to the depth of like a full cartoon series.
Yes.
But in the context of a video game.
Yep. I can see
multiple seasons, huge stories, huge outreach, crossovers, all sorts of opportunities.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see it, man. Definitely see it. Now, the game is coming out in a couple of days, man. Are you guys nervous again? Now, you guys were nervous before the game got announced. Why are you guys nervous now that the game is about to release to the public?
Well, people are going to get their hands on it. They're going to play it for the first time. And I would say out of the gate, it's balanced a little hard. Mm-hmm. So my expectation is that people get in, they play it, and they're going to bounce off of it after dying a lot. But then a day or two later, that earworm, the song's going to be playing in their head. They're going to be like, oh, I got to go back to that. Cause I play, I'm a Rico main. I die a lot. Oh God, I die a lot. And I'll quit the game. And the next day I'm back. And the next day after that, I'm back. And the next day after that, I'm back. I mean, our goal there is to make it a challenge to play and to get through the entire content, but to have that kind of meta progression as that great equalizer. Like Brock, the guy who plays Maggie in her office, he laughs at us. He's like, ha ha, hey guys, over the weekend, I went and I beat the game without leveling Maggie up at all. We're like, Brock, you're a dick. And then I'll go and I'll be like rank 10 maxed out Rico and I'll still die and not make it through. Mm-hmm. So the goal was with the metagame wasn't to force people to grind. It was to basically be a leveler. So if you are immensely skilled at this game, yeah, you can beat it. You can just build the skills and you can go through because there are skilled gamers out there who are really, really good at games. They're going to figure out the systems. They're going to find the little loopholes and they're going to be able to blast through and make it to the end of this content. But for the average gamer or even the sub-average gamer, somebody who's not that fast, not that great at it, they're going to be able to kind of play through, build up that meta level, build up those skills and that experience. They're going to be able to find a build that makes sense. And it'll be much easier for them to get to the end content. And that was really our goal, was make it challenging for the skilled players, but also have a path for the less skilled players.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the rank system and also the leveling when you play the game. Why is it important to continue playing the game and leveling with the rank? Like, what are the stuff that we're going to get to see to unlock? And also, while you're playing the game, you can also level up through there for your character. Why that also is important? Like, what type of stuff we're going to get to see? Is it cosmetics? Is it more new skills or what? For those that don't know about it.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that you can unlock over the course of your meta progression as you rank your character up. The most sort of important piece of it is what Trent was talking about before, the infusions, where you sort of have three sort of trees of ability upgrades that you can do to your character. You can also upgrade your actual active abilities, like the ability to make Maggie teleport further with her snap ability. Mm-hmm. We've got these things called artifacts as well, which sort of fundamentally change a small part of gameplay for your character. It can be anything as much as like start with 50% more stamina or 50 more stamina points, or like have more perk choices when you level up.
Think like Hades keepsakes.
Exactly. Yeah. And beyond that, I mean, there's more content, more things that we want to do sort of into the future, but those are sort of the main items. But yeah, we kind of wanted to make it a bit of a game changer, a bit of a way to change things up. And we wanted players to have the opportunity to experiment with loadouts, to not just take the one character that we give to them and just use that, but to play around and see what works best for their individual play style.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, like, what was the part where it was the most difficult part of work on this project with the team? Was there anything, was it coming up with the concept? Was it the turning everything into like an 80s cartoons or what?
Yeah, that one for sure.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, like, well, this is, you know, as you say, we've worked with old engines a lot in the company. So we've got some incredibly skillful engineers that can do amazing things. And we're very lucky to work in a space where there's lots of great talent in that space as well. Mm-hmm. But I think the fight we really picked, being a new studio with Unreal, was trying to sort of override Unreal's graphics and do this kind of 80s visual effect. And big props to our art director, Eric Booker, and his team, who've worked some real magic here, as well as our graphics engineers for sort of pulling that off. Luke, you know, led that fight really early on, and it was a tough one.
You know, very quick, we have to talk about this intro, because I loved it a lot, the song and everything. So What was there different versions of the game of like the game intro? Was it something that you guys were like, okay, we got to do this again. This doesn't sound right. This is not the one. And when was it that you guys decided like, okay, this is the right perfect intro for the game. This is it. Was it a long process, short process, or what of that part?
I think personally, as soon as we decided on a 1980s theme, we knew it was going to have a banging intro track at some point.
Yeah.
But originally, up to only a few months ago, we had more of a sort of lore video that had a description of sort of how the world is and who is Daedalus and so on. But at the end of the day, when you're going to fire up something that is really meant to invoke the 1980s, we really did want to have an animated intro with something, you know, with a real banger of a track to listen to and mm-hmm. to kind of get you pumped up for playing the game. We knew that we can give you that lore in a much better way. And we wanted something that players were not going to skip when they play the game, you know, it really pumps you up. You know, I still listen to the theme song. And I've been working with our partner, Ross Lara, who was the composer for that game or for that song, mm-hmm. For months, just sort of getting it just into the right place. So,
yeah, you know what? I really enjoyed the gameplay trailer. Seeing that kid turning on that TV, I was like, well, that was me. That was me back in the 80s. I'll wake up 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, get my cereal, and ready for the cartoons. So I brought it back. So who came up with the idea of that trailer, man? Because that was really, really cool. It reminded me a lot of me growing up back in New York City.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that we had that idea pretty early on, like way before we were working on the trailer at all. I think, but we really wanted to capture that sort of like Saturday morning, like sitting in a sunbeam, sugary cereal, eager anticipation to watch your favorite show. Yeah, we wanted people to feel that going in.
Yeah.
We really wanted to push the team. It's like, we need the four. We need to focus on the heroes. It needs to be boom, hero doing something cool. Boom, hero doing something cool. And we need to really lean into that. It's totally inspired by all the cartoons we loved as kids growing up.
Mm-hmm. Big Thundercats energy, man.
Huge Thundercats energy.
Oh yeah, for sure. And He-Man, lots of He-Man stuff there, man. Like especially the animation from the intro. There was a lot of mix of all kinds of different cartoons there. I'm like, all right, I see a little bit of even Dragon Slayer from back in the days too.
Oh, yeah. So much Don Bluth in this.
Yeah,
Dragon Slayer was a huge inspiration in this, and I think a big part of that as well is that we're sick and tired of Grimdark. I mean, everything is so dark and so, oh, look at me. And it's like, you know what? Let's make a fun, bright, colorful game that looks great. Let's have a good time with it.
And because, I could tell the vibe too, man.
Yeah, it just feels so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind a little darkness in the story, but, oh man, things lately are just, everything's just so, it's so overdone. So this is like a breath of fresh air. And that's, I think, one of the things that's going to happen when people do bounce off because they die because their skills aren't there yet. They're going to remember and they're going to come back. I think this is one of those games that it's going to have an incredible long tail of people playing the game just because it's fun. You can jump in, have a good time. And when it's over, you don't owe it anything. It doesn't owe you anything. It's not like it's not like you're playing one of a big MMO with your friends and you got to show up at X time to play the raid. It's like you go in, you have fun and you bounce out.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737 GTR.
All right, everyone, let's talk about our sponsor for this episode of Gamertag Radio, and that's Bud Light Next. Zero Carbs beer is here. We're excited to be one of the first podcasts to partner with the brand new Bud Light Next, their first zero carb beer. You heard that right. Zero carb beer is super crisp, light beer with 80 calories and 4% of ABV. Again, a few months back, I got a really cool package from Bud Light, and I opened it up. And by the way, inside was nice and cool, multiple Bud Light Next. And I drank it for the first time there, man, and I was hooked. I did that
during multiple events that have been happening, and even when I'm just chilling, playing some games. I love it. It's very, very crisp, very refreshing, very light, and an unexpected amount of flavor. But guess what? With zero carbs. So what I did too, when I even moved out to our brand new place, I had more Bud Light next, and I got to drink with my friends and family. We were talking about it, and they said, wow, I never seen this before, man, but it's really cool. They love the packaging, and more importantly, the taste of the beer. So you don't believe me? Go try Bud Light next for yourself. It's in store right now, in stores right now. To find a retailer who delivers right to your door, head to budlight.com/next. That's budlight.com/next. Enjoy responsibly. Messaging for 21 and over. Again, we'd like to thank Bud Light Next for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Yeah, what tips you would give for those that are going to start playing this in a couple of days? Because, you know, people, I know others are just going to discover it on their own, but there's probably some that would like to get some tips from the devs.
Learn to block.
with Victoria and learn to block.
Play defensively. Block, dodge, take advantage of the fact that the pace is a little bit slower, or give you a little bit more time to think about how you're going to fight. Manage your stamina. You can get your character can get tired very quickly if you're overextending yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a much more tactical game than it looks like. And also play all four characters. Figure out which one you like the most. You're gonna see one of them and you're gonna like the way they look and you're gonna try them out. But they might not be the character that you really ultimately want to play. But I mean, all of them are fun. Get used to playing one of them first. But know that when you switch over to another character, you're relearning the whole game because all of them do play quite differently.
Yeah, it's you know, I think with all of the characters, there's a sort of special flavor to each, but the kind of unifying theme is get good, right? Like, it's people are accustomed, I think, to seeing games like this, like colorful action-oriented games, and then being kind of like easy breezy. This is a roguelite, you know, it's going to punish you. You got to learn the systems. You got to engage with it a little bit if you want to get the maximum out of it. But I think people are going to do just that.
Mm-hmm. I would say play it multiplayer because it is a lot of fun multiplayer. And when you start linking abilities up and doing things as a group, the game plays way better. And you can do things as a group that you otherwise couldn't. When Maggie sets up a shield, the whole party comes in and clusters around her. Rico, your job is kill the things that are really, really terrifying. Find them. Hit them hard, get them down, and then run away because you're not invulnerable. I have a bad habit of overcommitting Rico and dying off in the middle of a bunch of enemies. Mm-hmm. And Victoria is just a powerhouse. She can do so many things well. And when things are going bad for her, her shield is so powerful. Between her shield and dodge, she can just soak up an incredible amount of damage that squashes other squishier characters.
Yeah,
and Hawkins, you get good at headshotting things. With Hawkins, you're like padook, 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 and things are just going down all over the place. And his special abilities, like his ghost walk especially, gets you out of trouble in a hurry.
Yeah, and I love too that every time you play, the level changes. It's very random. So you never know. Maybe you will find the right one that's gonna help you get to the end of it. So yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And
Rogues, man, it's all about that perfect storm.
Yeah. Well, and we've got the witch. When she shows up, she's the first time you see her. She's terrifying, and she's just random.
See, you go through a witch.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
This monster that shows up infrequently in the game, which is called the Necrolite, used to be called the witch.
I like the witch.
It's show. The blue yeah, creature with the four arms. She buffs all of the enemies around you. She teleports around the fight arena, and she can poison you. She is a real pain in the ass to fight, but She so like target her down first. That's my piece of advice for anyone. Yeah,
that is a Rico job right there.
That's a Rico job. Yeah,
yeah. You know which one enemies are very annoying. I'm like, every time I'll see them and I'll freak out. Is the mushrooms.
Which ones?
The ones I see like different color, I'm like, this is not good. Let me get out of here. You know. So.
we call them champions. Anybody who's got a highlight around their body, they're actually a tougher version. So the mushrooms are really challenging, and then you get lizardmen, and the lizardmen archers are dicks.
Oh yeah, they steal your whatever you have on you, man.
The little goblins, yeah.
Yeah, the goblins. I mean, the goblins. Yeah, like I was, I was trying to kill him, and he bumped into me, and I noticed he took one. I think he took my shield and ran away. I'm like, hey, punk, come over here. Yeah.
And if you don't kill him soon enough, they can actually teleport away with your stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like mission one is the instant something gets stolen, find him, kill him, and get it back.
Yeah. By the way, I know you guys were super busy the day you guys announced this, man. What was it the thing that surprised you the most from the reaction of the gamers? Was there anything cool you saw online that you were like, wow, this is awesome?
For me, it was like the number of people that like got the animation thing. I mean, we went pretty deep and nerdy on that. You know, we used a wonderful consultant named Mark Capello, who helped us sort of do some of the original look dev. And he was, I think, an animator on Watership Down, if I'm not mistaken, Luke.
Yeah, he worked in sort of the industry back in the day and has a very, very good knowledge of sort of all of the things that would go into a two-dimensional sort of animated feature. So he was a great asset for us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Luke's a huge animation nerd. You mentioned he's got sort of like animation cells on his wall.
You can see my He-Man cells on my wall.
I see that.
and I was surprised that like so many people got and appreciated that. Like we thought everyone would be like, oh, awesome, 80s cartoon nostalgia, the feeling, the vibe, sweet. But a lot of people were like, hey, this animation is really good. Like they really figured out how to do 2D animation in Unreal and kind of subvert the 3D thing, which was really hard to do, and really thankful people got it.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it was just being able to see people have fun and being able to see them play it, especially when you see the streamers, the influencers, when they're firing up with a friend. Watching people play together and hearing them talk to each other is just so hilarious. Because I think it was the cartoons fella. He saw him and his buddy were playing and the witch popped up, the Necrolite popped up. And he's like, what the hell is that? It just teleported. I don't know. I'm shooting it. No. So he's the archer and he's telling the other guy, quick, go over and kill it. So the guy runs up his Victoria. He hits it a couple times. He's like, oh my God, it's super tough. I'm scared. And he starts running around. He's like, oh no, run, killing it.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
For me, it was just awesome. And as Kale mentioned, like the animation thing, we went pretty nerdy on how far into the whole cell look that we went. But I think at the end of the day, you don't have to be an animation nerd to just appreciate how good it looks on it looks.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would love for you guys to do is, go online and maybe work with those like fan sites that have like 80 cartoons or something like that. Like those are not gamers. For them to get into this, I think they would love this so much, man. Like the non gamers, right? And also, man, if you guys have like any figurines or even make some special VHS or anything like that, oh, I'm all in. Let me tell you.
Nice.
Your dream come true.
Yeah, that would be so cool, man. And I hope the game become a success. We need stuff like this, man, in gaming. I think that would be awesome too, man. And hopefully. Who knows, man? Animated series, one of those like streaming services. Hey, you never know, right?
Yep. A lot of Netflix execs watch this, right?
I know, right? Netflix? I got you. There you go.
Definitely on our list of things we have to do.
Yeah. Hey, everything has to do with 80s, go all out with that. Tape, VHS, whatever. Go all in.
Well, especially action figures.
Yes.
I love the action figures idea. An animated series would be awesome because, as Luke mentioned, I mean, we put a lot of work into the mythology behind MythForce and the universe that it exists in. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to make this kind of consistent with 80s cartoon sensibilities, but still accessible, but still a fun and interesting fantasy world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we knew the game was fun to play when we were designing it, but I think what surprised us a little bit was how much fun it is to watch. None of us really meant for that to happen, but it just kind of organically did.
Yeah. Well, my last question, and this is a fun one. Each of you, favorite cartoon from the 80s. Let's go, Trent. Let's go.
Thundercats.
Thundercats, yes. Favorite character?
I'm going to be plain on this. Probably Lion-O, although I had tingly feelings about Chitara.
You know, I was all about Panthro. Panthro.
Panthro was, he had the tank, but the tank never got to be the star. It was always, they kept pushing the tank down.
That's true. That's true. Kao, what about you?
For me, it's got to be Ninja Turtles, man. Ooh. I was a big Ninja Turtles fan when I was that young. I know it carried into the 90s, but started in the 80s.
Late 80s, yeah.
I think probably my favorite animated thing from that whole period of time was Secret of Nim. That was my jam. Nice. That movie.
That's awesome. What about you, Luke?
Captain N, the Game Master. I knew from a very young age, I think, that video games were my destiny. But yeah, like my parents had trouble like dragging me away from the TV when that thing was on.
That's awesome. Cool, man. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys, man. It was a lot of fun, and good luck with everything with the game. I can't wait to see what you guys have planned for the future, man.
Thanks, Denny. Thanks for having us on, man. Thanks.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, we're going to continue with the show, but this time I'm going to be reviewing Panic's new handheld device, and it's called Playdate. A couple years back, I got to see the announcement from Panic, and I got really, really excited to try this device because I love handheld. I love portable gaming. You know, when I travel, I'll take my Switch, I take my phone, you know, to play like xCloud. And when I heard about Playdate, I got super excited. I was like, all right, this is something that I would love to play. Plus, having exclusive content only for the device is something that really, really stood out to me. And the Crank got me super curious too, like how that's going to work with some of these games. So if you haven't seen my unboxing, I posted this on Twitter where I open it, really cool package. It comes with the Playdate, a USB-C, and also a starter guide, how to work and turn on the device and download the games and everything. So when you first boot, you will get to see the official logo of Playdate. Now, the device is very, very small. The battery, if you have the device on, it will last up to like 8 hours active, 14 days on standby, and also has a clock where you can also set it up and you could change the type of clock that you want to. So, of course, it has the A, B buttons, a D-pad, a sleep menu, crank, and everything. So, the good thing about this device is once you connect it, you have it there, and every time there's a new game, there's also a light on top of the device, and it will tell you, hey, Danny, there's a new game coming out. So, for this one, when you buy the device, you automatically will get Season 1 for free. Now, for the next season, you have to pay, but for Season 1, there's 24 games included there. So the past 12 days, they've been sending like 2 games at a time for the media, and I got to play a lot of them, and it's been a lot of fun. So I have to mention this. It was every 2 days, every few days, it was like a new game, so I was really, really excited. I felt like a new kid, you know. Now, if you don't want to know the games, this is an opportunity for you to stop listening and fast forward for a little bit because I'm going to mention a couple of the games that stood out to me, and it was a lot of fun. So there's some that's called B360, Battleship Gaudios, Casual Birder, Kranken's Time Travel Venture. That one I really, really enjoyed. This one, you actually control a robot with the crank, and you will speed up. You move forward, right? And when there's like an object or something that is going to hit you, you could go back and until you see
your character, I think it's like a robot, he could be jumping, he could be dunking, and this will help you to stay away from those like objects for you not to get hurt. If you get hurt, then you start from scratch and you have to figure out. So it's really, really cool. I had a great time. Again, there's so many exclusive games that's only available on this device. Now, I tried out for a couple of days. So what I've done is I play this outdoor at night. I even went to the beach with friends and I passed it along to see what were like their thoughts and et cetera. And a lot of people were having a lot of fun. Even when we were driving, I let a couple of people try it out. So this reminds me a lot of the original Game Boy, where if you don't have light, of course, it's going to be difficult to see the games. So if you do have an area where there's a lot of light, then it's going to look really, really good. The only difference is this is not like a green color or anything like that. This is more of like a black color for like fonts and graphics and everything. And it has an amazing, amazing sound too. Speakers is really, really cool on this. You know, I think this has a lot of potential for people to have a great time. And this is just the beginning with the content that they have there. I mean, 24 games for season one. You only pay it once because you buy the device and that's it. So 24 games for free, including the package. And in the future, you pay a fee for season two, season three, etc. So that's really cool. Plus, you could also make your own playdate game. If you go to play.date/pulp, there is a website there that will allow you to just create games in there, man. So it's really, really cool. I think, look, this is not no next-gen device or anything like that, like compared to like the Steam Deck or Switch or any other portable devices that you could play with, like X-Play or anything like that. Not X-Play, X-Cloud. But this is something that is cool. It's fun. I had a great time. Battery is good. And you know what? If there's a new game, try it out. Plus, they have leaderboards in some of the games. There's voice in some of the games. Music is really, really cool. And I feel like it has a lot of potential. Plus, the thing I love about indie games, a lot of the indie developers are always thinking outside of the box. And I think this is a device that a must have for those that are really into like portable handheld gaming and everything like that. So again, the device is very, very cute. Love the design. The screen is a little small and it's easy to just put in your pocket. Like I compare the size, like the Xbox controller, even my phone, which is the Note. If you go to my Twitter account, twitter.com/Godfrey, I posted a video where I was comparing the two devices to see how it looks. And this one is really, really small, but it's easy to just carry with you, put in your pocket, carrying around. It's really, really cool, man. Again, Panic did an amazing job on just making the device look good. And I hope this device, the Playdate gets, I hope that the device succeed, because I would love to see more of this in the future. And I'm curious to see what other games are they planning to do in the future when season two arrives. This is not a groundbreaking device or anything like that, but this is something that it's good for gaming. Thinking outside of the box, Panic is not competing with Nintendo or Steam Deck. This is something new. And at the same time, you're supporting indie developers, man, indie studios, and even Panic, man. So I would love to see this in the future. I can't wait to see the speaker. It's like a dock that comes with a pen. You put it in there and you could charge it. You could listen to, it has some great, great speakers there. I think it's Bluetooth. And I got to see it and it looks really cool. And I hope they release that soon. I think that's coming out in the future. The system right now, you could pre-order for $179. The Crank, to me, is one of the coolest thing in there, man. The device is Wi-Fi, is Bluetooth, a loud speaker. And every time you turn on, it will tell you, hey, this is a new game. So when you turn it on, there's like a gift wrapped, and you have to press the button to to unlock it because this is a surprise. So people are not going to know what type of games they're going to be receiving every week. Again, there's 24 games that's going to be available in there, man. One of the games that I was playing a lot, I think out of all of them, was Whitewater Wipeout. This is a surfing game, and you control yourself on a surfboard using the crank. So, and depending on your score, this will also will get uploaded to the leaderboards, and you see whoever has the device, they will also upload their score to them, and so you could compete and everything too, man. So it's really cool. Another one of a samurai game that I really, really enjoy playing this too is Zipper. That one is a really, really cool one. Casual built birder is kind of like, think of it as it's like Pokemon Snap. You see birds, you go over there, take some pictures, etc. Like there's some missions that you can do in there too, man. So now the device I was talking about, the dock, is called Playdate Stereo Dock. That one is coming out soon, but it has some speakers. You could also play from, you could also connect your device there and it will charge. And also as a pen holder, this is a stereo Bluetooth and the design looks pretty interesting, man. So you could also buy a cover if you don't want the screen to get scratched. The cover is only cost like $29. For those that are listening to this, let me know if you're curious about buying the Playdate. It's going to come out very, very soon. A lot of the media got this really, really early. I got to see videos since last year. And I'm excited to see what's next from Panic. I think, you know, congratulations to the team. This is something really, really cool. We haven't even seen this from an independent company like this, man, in a very, very long time. So highly, highly recommended. I think that this is something that is going to it's gonna get better and better in the future. You could even take screenshots if you want to have it there. Again, leaderboards. And who knows what else we're going to get to see in the future from Panic. So highly recommended. If you're into handheld gaming, Playdate, in my opinion, is a must-have. Again, it's very, very cheap. It's only $179. Go right now to play.date for more information. You can sign in, pre-order, and there's also videos of things that you would like to do in there. And again, this is a must-have if you're into portable gaming.
This is Gamertag Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. Thank you for listening to the review and the interview. I have a lot of things going on behind the scenes. In a couple of days, I'm going to get married. P is out of the country. Paris is also busy. But don't worry, we have stuff scheduled for you guys to continue to listen to GTR. We're going to have new content every week. And get ready. In the future, I'm also going to put up my fireside sit down with Reggie Fils-Aimé. I think this is going to be a very, very interesting conversation. We're going to talk about everything that's going on in the gaming industry. Plus, we're going to talk about his new book that's coming out next month. Go right now to GamesBeat official website, GamesBeat Summit. You could go right now to the description of this episode. If you want to watch this, it's totally free for virtual. In person, you can buy tickets. So go right now, take advantage of this. And please, at the same time, it will support me because this is a major, major keynote session with Reggie Fils-Aimé. It's a dream come true for me to do this, man. So I can't wait to record this and also post this on a future episode of Gamer Tag Radio. So go right now to GamesBeat Summit. Support. The actual event is happening April 26th, the in-person event, which you also could watch virtually. And I'm also hosting the rest of the summit on the 27th and the 28th all day long. So for more information, go to GamesBeat Summit right now, and please send me your feedback about the event. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening to episode 1205. I'll be back next week with more content here on Gamertag Radio.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We'll be right back.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.